Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the 23rd of the 4th month, 2025. It is a Wednesday evening, ladies and gentlemen. And you know how we do on Wednesdays. We allow you guys to come through. We allow you guys to come forward and, you know, give us a little sneak preview on what your noggin has been giving you and what your mind has been giving you of late and what you've been thinking about and all the shenanigans that are going around or in and out of your life. And, you know, just to vibe with it, just to vibe with it, just to chill with it. We are within, we are within, we are within. But nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, so ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-4001. That is the number in studio in case you would like to call in case you would like to participate in our conversations, in case you would like to tell me a little piece of your mind, in case you would like to tell me about how your day was, in case you'd like to tell me how amazing Eagle Media House is. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for the online newspaper, which is The Villager, the number is 081-200-4144. That is the number in case you would like to receive a copy of The Villager newspaper. And also if you would like to give news tips, or if you would like to report corruption, or if you have evidence of somebody doing what, and you want to talk to a journalist, you want somebody to call you to interview you about this thing or something, even if you just want to whistleblow, that is the number. The number is 081-200-4144. And if you'd like to call us in studio, it is 083-288-4001. That is the number in studio. So ladies and gentlemen, initially, we had started a conversation around emotional abuse. Now, the reason that we're talking about emotional abuse is because, I believe that emotional abuse is one of the abuses that are implied. You know, it's like somebody coming to your house and then they say, no, all of you guys just go that. Not even all of you guys. It's just you guys go there. Now, you don't know who you guys are because, I mean, if I don't live here, do I also go with them or do I just sit over here? Is it a family thing? And they assume that by saying that, it was implied that all of you guys should go. So when they talk about abuse, when they talk about GBV, when they talk about financial abuse, when they talk about emotional, physical abuse, they always... It's one of those things that it is implied most. We are talking about abuse, so it is implied. It is also just pushed into the room. It is also just come together. We can do this together. It just all flows into that. And I believe that it's one of those things that is not really looked at in depth. It's not a conversation that is really just on its own. It's always accompanied by other things. It's like you always having a plus one. It's like, nobody wants to see you alone. It's just you and 10 others, you and 6 others. It's never just you alone. So I feel that, I think that many of us have really honestly just, we've looked at it in such a sense that emotional abuse is just part of it. It's just part of the abuses that are there. You know, emotional abuse is just part of the abuses that are there. And this is just how it is. And this is just how it goes. And at the end of the day, we can't really identify what it actually is. And even when we are asked, we don't really know how to identify it and how to identify if we are in that situation or if we are not in that situation, because it's difficult most. It's like, yeah, but it's most abuse. It's the same as the other things, but it's just on an emotional level. And yes, we can say that it's just on an emotional level, but there are also other things. There are telltale signs. There is what. And there is what. There is so much that we can dive into. So initially yesterday we started with our signs, and there are a couple of signs that we should look out for we as individuals, we should look out for. We have to identify whether we are abusers or whether we are being abused or whether we know somebody that has been or is being emotionally abused. And the only way we can find out where exactly we stand, or the only way we can figure out if we are not, is by knowing what the telltale signs are. Now the telltale signs are, it's such a passive activity that it's not really something that we can just, we just know. So we started with isolation. So that was the first sign of emotional abuse, where your abuser basically just isolates you. Now you are thinking like, but what isolates me? How would they isolate me? They can't isolate me. I mean, I'm in front of people and people can see me, and how would I be isolated? Do they call me aside to go and emotionally abuse me, or to go and verbally abuse me, or what? Like, I don't understand. But isolation, is basically, or let me say, isolation is being taken out of a setting where you are with community. And by community, I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about anybody outside of the circle of you guys. So it's usually in romantic relationships, you get isolated from your family, you get isolated from friends, you get isolated from other people, where this person demands 100% of your attention, 100% of your time. This person love bombs, and this person calls, and this person texts all day, every day. You guys are on it. You guys are on it. You guys are on it. And it might seem like it's beautiful in the beginning, and it might seem like it's magic in the beginning, but anything that is done in excess, anything that is done too much, also has the capability and the potential to become something dangerous or something bad. Even if you say that I only have a little bit of sugar, if you have enough sugar one day the sugar is gonna kill you. If you have too much beer, one day the beer is gonna kill you. If you have too much painkiller, the painkiller is gonna kill you. So that's basically what we're saying. So in isolation, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about somebody picking you up from your house and going to put you in a dungeon, because that's what we are picturing, right? We're picturing somebody that is violent, somebody that is aggressive, somebody that is dangerous, somebody that you're afraid of. But it doesn't come like that. It comes in the sweetest way. The same way that this person lured you into the nest of their hearts is the same way that they are going to lure you into the nest of their hearts in isolation. Ladies and gentlemen, it could come up with them causing conflict between you and family members, or between you and friends, co-workers. They could stir up a little bit of trouble, direct or indirectly, to break up your relationships with other people. Now, just think about it like this. You have this friend that wants 100% of your time and wants 100% of your attention, wants 100%. It's almost like it's a romantic relationship if you look at it, but it's not a romantic relationship. Now, what this friend does is, this friend comes into your friend circle and she starts talking rumors about you. She starts talking things about you, and you're like, but those things are not true. But people don't believe that they are not true. So at the end of the day, everybody breaks up with you, and the only person that you have is her, right? So that is a mode of isolation. That is how, what we are talking about when we say we're isolating. So they usually come and they cause conflict between you and people that are within your circle. And the people that are within your circle are usually the people within your circle that have the ability to spot out something that is wrong, have the ability to spot out something that's just not quite right, have the ability to tell you that this is not the person for you, have the ability to tell you that this person is not what you think they are, and this person that you are in a relationship with right now is not the person that we have pictured for you, or is not the person that is supposed to be with you, or is not a good person. It's usually those kinds of people. That's their first target, right? So their first target could either be your parents. Now, your parents see you with this guy or this girl, and your mother is instantly like, I don't like that girl. I don't like that girl. And you have no idea why your mother doesn't like this sweet angel that you just picked up from the streets. You know the streets. The streets have a lot of potential. So you saw your potential and you're like, yeah, but I think I can build with this one. I think I can live with this one. I think I can be with this one. And your mom is like, nah, 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 not this one. I know. Tiopo better. Eh? Elizabeth, a better, not this one. And you are upset about it and you don't understand why your mother doesn't like this person. And then you try and put them in a setting where they have to get to know each other so that your mom can figure out how amazing she is, right? But your mom can't just shake it off. She can't shake it off. Nah, no. I'm sorry, I tried to get to know her. I really did try to get to know her, but the more she keeps talking, the more I'm like, not my son in this one. And you try your level best because this is your mom and this is your person, you know? And the relationship is going good. There's nothing inside the relationship that gives you a sense of a red flag, especially if you are in a space where you want somebody to be all about you, you want somebody to be clingy, you want somebody to be loving, you want somebody to give you that sweet melanin love or that sweet Caribbean love that you've always wanted and this person is delivering, you don't see anything wrong within the setting. And you are trying now to put parent and lover together so that they can just gel, so that you can finally pop the question, so that you can finally propose, you know? Have you ever met a person that has been in a relationship for like 9 years, 10 years with somebody, right? And you're wondering, you guys have everything. Why are you guys not married? And the problem is just the parents. The problem is just the parents. The parents are like, not this one. I understand that you love her. I understand that you even decided that maybe you're going to make babies with her, but not this one. And you're wondering why. But this usually happens when an intuition of some sort or a character trait within the person shows and reveals its ugly face, and then it's tucked away and Mother Dearest caught it and got it. And yes, sometimes parents can be wrong, but sometimes parents can be right as well. Parents are not people that just woke up yesterday and decided that they hate everybody. Parents are not people that just decide that they don't want you to be happy. Parents are also people that want to willil. You know, they want to willil, willil, willil. They want to yuck with, they want to what? Wandil, wandil. And they want you to be happy. They want you to be in a long-lasting shandy. Mara, not with this one. Now you're wondering, why not with this one? So what this madam does is, eventually you end up telling her that your mother is, or she ends up getting a whiff of it. You don't tell her because you are trying most now to keep her feelings and maintain her feelings and, you know, don't tell her the truth because it's going to hurt her feelings. So you don't tell her that your mother is not feeling her. She just picks it up later when your mother frowns and when your mother's like, ugh, when, you know, passes by like, ugh, like, and their parents have a difficulty in hiding, their disgust and their dislike towards somebody. It's very difficult, especially if your parents are a bit on the senior side. It is extremely difficult for parents to hide it because they've lived long enough to know that this is some fake stuff. This is not, nah. So she picks it up and then she's like, no, but your mom doesn't like me. And you're like, no, my mom loves you, Samantha. My mom loves you. You are amazing. My mom loves you. And she's like, no, I don't think your mom likes me. And then what she does is, every single time that you have to go to your mom or you have to do something for your mom, she tries by all means to make sure that you don't go. And she tries to move you guys as far away from family as possible so that she can must now just be manipulating you and abusing you in isolation. So you grew up in the city. And your parents, your grandparents, everybody is here. And your friends, everybody, your whole life is here. And then this person just decides, oh no, I found us both jobs in Khobabas. Let's go. And you're like, yo, but Khobabas though. It's like, what's in Khobabas? And she's like, no, let's just go. Then you are almost now taken out of your natural habitat where with all your friends and all your loved ones and everybody that cares about you. Now you're taken out of your natural habitat and you're put into a different habitat where they now have the power to control you. They now have the power to tell you things and manipulate you and blackmail you and do all these vicious things, but with the mind, right? With the psychology behind it. And this is what isolation is. Isolation is basically removing you from your natural habitat, removing you from friends, family, co-workers, but it's usually people that have some form of impact in your life, some form of opinion that you respect and that you trust. They usually take you away from those people. So when you make new friends and they approve of these new friends, then it's a bit of they select the types of friends that you should be with. So most probably you're going to be friends with Ndina, or you're going to be friends with Dapewa now, because Ndina and Dapewa are most probably his sisters, and they are the ones that are, you know, gatekeeping and safeguarding you from outside things. So every single time that you have a problem of some sort with him, then you have nobody to talk to, because now you have been isolated. Uchanga, you don't talk to your sisters, you don't talk to your brothers, you don't talk to your mom, you don't talk to your grandmother, you don't talk to friends there in Windhoek, you don't talk to nobody. And it's not that you can't just pick up the phone and call. It's most probably that they have said something to influence this behavior. They have said something to influence your thought towards this person. So they've said a little something like, yeah, I just think that the matriarch is a loose woman, you know, and I just think that Elizabeth is having a very big mouth, and I think she doesn't keep people's secrets, so I don't think you should tell her your things. You know, they just plant these little seeds, and now you are in absolute isolation. And remember that isolation doesn't have to be geographical. It doesn't have to be location-based. Isolation can be emotional isolation as well, because if you are in a relationship with somebody and this person says, I don't like when people talk about my things. I don't like it when our business is out there. So when they go and do something that warranties you to talk about it, that guarantees, or that gives you like, it really needs to be spoken about, the likelihood of you going out there to speak about it is slim to none, because they have already put inside your mind that they don't like their business being put out there in the streets. They don't like their things being spoken about. They don't like being spoken about. And they don't like. So you start living your life according to what they deem is appropriate and what they deem is acceptable behavior. So that is why they say that basically it is truly just giving up your comfort and your emotional well-being or your emotional stability to accommodate your abuser's love, or to guarantee your abuser's love. So if you are now uncomfortable in any way in the relationship and you go out there and talk about it, then the punishment would be that they would revoke their love, they would take their love back, or they would leave you, or they would not want to be with you anymore, or they would call you names or whatever. They would hurt you in one way or another, but not physically per se, not always physically, but sometimes physically. But what would hurt is them taking their love away, because their love has become this trophy and this it's become this trophy and this medallion within the relationship, that it is something that you become addicted to. You are addicted to the love that they give you. So this love is something that you need, is something that you want, is something that you can't live without. It's your creme de la creme, or so you believe, or so you are made to feel and made to believe over a long period of time, or over some period of time, because obviously somebody from the streets that you just met yesterday cannot have that kind of hold over you. They first have to lure you into the spider web and then lay out the dinner table for you and let you choose your poison. Are we together, ladies and gentlemen? Are we together? So that is what usually happens first. It is the isolation. The isolation from your friends, the isolation from things, the isolation from activities that condone isolation. The isolation from things that brought you joy outside of the relationship. Good evening. Good evening. And usually that is what happens. So ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to participate, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. Please do call in so that we can talk about it. Because I believe that if we identify these things, and if we look at it, and if we honestly observe things, then I think that many of us would get ourselves out of situations before it's too late. And also we would not get into situations because then we can identify, because I don't understand why we are drawn to things like love bombing and over complimenting and 100% attention and 100% time, as if this person is not an individual prior to you. I think that some of these things are things that nobody really tells us, and it feels good in the moment. It feels good to be wanted, ladies and gentlemen. It feels good to be needed. It feels good to be the center of somebody's universe. In all honesty, there's nobody that doesn't want to be the center of somebody's universe. The only problem is that we want to be the center of somebody's universe in a healthy way. And within this center, other things must also exist. You must have interests. You must have talents. You must have things that you like. You must have activities. You must have friends. You must have family bonds. You must have all these other things that are also just at the center. It can't just be me. I must be at the center with God and everybody else. So that's why we're talking about it. So ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to dive in. So, someone abusing you may use different tactics to undermine your self-esteem, you know? So when we're talking about our self-esteem, we're talking about the self, we're talking about how we view ourselves, how we value ourselves, where we put ourselves on this pedestal called life, where we basically find our self-worth, find our self-confidence, find our self-love, find our self-healing, find ourselves, right? So now when somebody is trying to abuse you, or trying to emotionally abuse you, part of the tactics that they may use, right, is humiliation and criticism. Now, humiliation and criticism, you are wondering, how can the person be humiliating me? Well, someone abusing you may use different tactics to undermine your self-esteem, undermine yourself, your self-confidence, undermine your self-worth, or even just break it all together. The examples are name-calling and derogatory nicknames. Now, when we look at nicknames, when we think of nicknames, right? In high school, we all had these nice, wonderful nicknames. Apart from the people that have been teased and given nicknames like farty pants, you know, like big nose, those kind of things. Like, I remember, there was a girl that her surname was Weyulu, and they used to interpret it into English. So it was Wenose. So Wenose was not a nice thing. She didn't like it. So it was Wenose, 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 Wenose. And those are apparently nicknames, but it's only a nickname if I also approve of it. Otherwise, you are just calling me names. So think about nicknames, for example. you're thinking, yeah, but nicknames are cute. Nicknames that are appreciated and also welcomed, those are cute. Those are nice. Yeah, like the way we call each other baby and babe and sweetie and best friend and honey bunch and pudding and all the other things that you guys call each other. Capire, yeah, those nice things that you guys call each other, right? Imagine now somebody giving you a degrading nickname. Like, they know that you have self-esteem issues or you have weight issues. Now, there's this term in Zulu that is stoodla. It's not a term, it's a word. It's a fat person is called stoodla. You know? So now imagine this person is a Zulu guy and he's like, oh, stoodla, stoodla. And it sounds cute before you know what it is. And then before you are around people that actually use the term correctly. And then you find that, all right, they're talking about the fat guy down the street, or they're talking about the obese guy down the street, or they're talking, but the way they speak about the person and they put the same word, stoodla. And then also when the person calls you stoodla, for example, everybody around them that understand what stoodla is, right? They cringe. They cringe, they make faces and they laugh. So that nickname is officially derogatory. It's degrading for you. Yeah, it is officially degrading, and you ask them to stop and they just don't want to stop because apparently it suits you and blah, blah, blah. And you're thinking, but you're the love of my life. You're not supposed to be calling me names. You're not supposed to be what? You're not supposed to be what? But this person really plays it off like, ah, man, just get over it. It's nothing, man. I'm also thin and what? And, but nobody calls you names, right? Because you're not in the business of calling anybody names. So they are name callings and derogatory nicknames. They blatantly call you things like stupid. They call you loser, or they use other insults. You see how we highlight their insults. Maybe they use terms of endearment that actually highlight things you're sensitive about. Like my little nail biter. Eh? My little nail biter. Now, if you are a person that bites your nails and you're already sensitive about it, like let's talk about the reason that you bite your nails. People that bite their nails, it's not just a force of habit. It is also a coping mechanism with anxiety. A lot of people don't actually want to talk about it because they don't know, they're not exposed to it, but it is really honestly one of the symptoms that we could look at if we are going to diagnose anxiety, for example, or you do it when you're anxious, or you do it when you're uncomfortable, or you do it when you are thinking, or it's like a soothing mechanism. But imagine now if you're self-conscious about it, because now you have ruined your fingers and you have ruined your nails, and then they call you things like my little nail biter. That's only cute if you approve of it. If you don't approve of it, then it just makes you uncomfortable. Oh, my chubby pumpkin. You know, it's only cute, right? A name is only cute when you also approve of it. If you don't approve of it, then it just becomes something that is a bane in your existence. So now every day you are being reminded that you are chubby and you are like a pumpkin. Now when you look at a pumpkin and you look at chubby, and this is most now not something that is bringing you warmth and bringing you excitement. And also, they ignore your requests when you ask them to stop. They pay no mind to it. You're like, I really don't want to be called chubby pudding. I really don't want to be called Stoodla. I really don't want to be called Dark Knight. Ha! I really don't want to be called now Fiku. You know, I really don't want to be called a fat girl. I don't want to be called a black stallion. I don't want to be called that, darling. Like, no, I don't want to be called that. I want to be called Angel. I want to be called the love of my life. I want to be called my love. I want to be called like other women are called, but this person blatantly ignores you and they just keep doing it. So now every time they call you this, you quench. You quench and you're unhappy about it. And also the second thing that they do, and this is all under humiliation, right? And criticism. So first of all, we talked about isolation and everything that falls under isolation. Now we are at number two, which is humiliation and criticism. And part of humiliation and criticism is name calling and derogatory nicknames. So the second one under name, humiliation is character assassination. This usually involves the words always. You're always late. You're always wrong. You are always disagreeing. You are always, 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 always. So it's never, you're always so beautiful. You're always so nice. You're always so what? You're always so what? It is never something in a positive light. It's always, in a negative light. So this is character assassination, because if somebody calls you late all the time, if you acknowledge it, then it's something else. But if somebody is blatantly lying about you and making it seem like it is absolutely the truth, then the next person that is listening to this person would assume that you are always late. And this would now assassinate your character, because say now you are there with your boss and you are literally 2 minutes late. 2 minutes, your boss did not even see that you are 2 minutes late, right? And this person says it, points it out and says like, yeah, but you're always late, matriarch. How? Like, are you not assassinating my character in front of my boss? Are you not going to get my boss to be alert about my punctuality? Are you not going to make my boss assume that I am unreliable when it comes to time because you pointed out something that is false against my character and said that it is a norm, because a norm means always, right? You are normally late. You are always late. She's out it lat. So, hey. And you are always wrong, or you are always screwing up, or you are always doing bad things, or you are always insulting people. You are always what? You are always what? They might say these things to you or use them to describe your behavior to others. And this now, this is not a true representation of who you are. This is not a true representation of what you are. You are not always late. You're not always screwing things up. You are not always wrong. You are not always disagreeable. You're not always degrading. And now they are going to describe you to the next person that could have given an opportunity to you, that could have seen you in a different light, that could have had a plan with you. But now, because they are basically annihilating your character in front of somebody, this person is taking their word for it, or might take their word for it, because they are also very convincing. So now your boss assumes that I cannot give the matriarch the responsibility of opening the gate, because matriarch is said to always be late. I cannot give the matriarch the task of managing the books, because matriarch is said to be always screwing up. I cannot trust matriarch's I cannot trust matriarch's opinion within meetings, because she is always disagreeable. So she's always on the other side. So even if we are agreeing on something, she would always go on the side, or something like that, or something along those lines. So this is character assassination, because this is not who you are, and this is also not who you are presenting to be in front of different people. So now you are 2 minutes late. Your boss didn't even know that you're late, because your boss didn't even check the time. This person that is sitting next to your boss points this out and highlights it as if they were waiting there for a million years. You see what I mean? So this could also, that is why we are talking about emotional abuse. It's not just also, it's not also only something that is within romantic relationships, but it is also within the sphere of other relations. Listen, imagine, right? If we are talking about humiliation and criticism right now, how many have been humiliated by coworkers, colleagues? How many have been name called by colleagues and given derogatory nicknames by colleagues? How many people's characters have been assassinated by colleagues? Imagine that. Now you are thinking like, yeah, no, but emotional abuse is mostly for home settings. But imagine having a colleague, ne? That calls you names at work. Names you're uncomfortable with. Just think about it. Think about it for a minute. Just close your eyes and think about it. You're going into the office, you're getting into your car, you're getting into your workspace, and the first thing you hear is an insulting name, basically. That's coming from somewhere. It could be an identifier on yourself. Like, it could be something like maybe you have been complaining about acne, ne? You have been complaining about having pimples on your face. You don't know what soap you have been using, but you have been having an outbreak lately. And I can also guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, even if you don't want to admit it, and even if you don't want to see it, and in as much as you don't believe in spirituality and all of that, ladies and gentlemen, your body rejects negative people. If you start hanging around somebody that gives you an aura, the likelihood of your skin breaking out, the likelihood of you having some kind of malfunction within your body, you get anxious, you get diarrhea, you're always twitching, you're always pacing, you're always what? Your body is basically trying to flush out this person. So if you have started hanging out with somebody that is deceptive, for example, that person is full of deceit, ne? And all of a sudden your face is just giving you problems, right? Maybe, just maybe, it's not the things that you have been using on your face, because we always want to, identify it with external factors. Good afternoon. Good evening. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you ventilating on character assassination.
Yeah. Yes. We're talking about emotional abuse, and we're talking about the telltale signs under emotional abuse. So we have started with, our first one was isolation and how it happens, and then we have moved on to humiliation and criticism. Now, what falls under humiliation and criticism are things such as name calling and giving you funny nicknames and character assassination as well. Yeah, so you can talk about character assassination. Give us a little insight.
No, I just wanted to say some things. You can call them. You can, because they are happening to you. Mm. You can call them character assassination.
Mm.
But someone might be telling it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you are always late.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to start work at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And from January to December,
mm-hmm.
you show up at 9.
Mm-hmm.
And when people talk about it,
mm-hmm.
you want to call it
character assassination. Mm-hmm.
So if you are calling it as such,
mm-hmm.
then you are just being defensive
mm-hmm.
for something which is true.
Yeah.
And again,
mm-hmm.
if someone asks me to mm-hmm. say, what do you know about Elizabeth
mm-hmm.
in terms of probably
punctuality?
They want to hire you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want mm-hmm. to hire you.
Yeah.
And they're asking me this question. Probably that is all what I know about you being in your working, being in the same working environment with you.
Yeah.
But probably I just tell it as it is, or probably we have even a bad, you have actually created a bad name for us as a company.
Yeah.
And my friend wants to hire you for his company, and he comes to ask me about you. You want me not to say what I know about you, because because now I'm afraid to say. At the end of the day, you are saying I must. I have that character assassination. So, I think sometimes we need to tell it as it is. And every day, we should be reminded, every day, wherever you are, you are writing your own CV. So, at the end of the day, when people are telling stories about us, we should not feel offended or being character assassinated. Or somebody tell it exactly how you are or how they see you.
Okay. I understand where you're taking it from, and thank you so much for your pointers. And I think that this is also a nice direction to look at it, right? But what happens, but let's talk about punctuality, for example. So you are sitting in the meeting, yeah? You're sitting in the meeting that was scheduled for 8 o'clock. Now, from December, I'm always late, right, for work. And I come and sit there with our boss that called a meeting, right? Our boss called a meeting, and this is the first time that you are meeting the boss. This is the first time that I'm meeting the boss. This is the first time anybody is meeting the boss, because our boss is just such a busy guy. We don't see him like that. So this is the first time. And today, I'm at work 2 minutes past eight. Not the 9 o'clock of usually, but 2 minutes past eight. And I come in, and unfortunately, I find you guys all sitting there. But I'm 2 minutes past eight. I'm late, 2 minutes past eight. And why? The question would be, why do you feel the need to say that I am always late on this particular day when I am not 1 hour late, but 2 minutes late? Why do you feel the need to bring the attention to the boss in such a way? I can't hear you. I can't hear you properly.
Yeah, I'm saying
the scenario. The scenario is different? No. The scenario, that is why we are getting to the point of character assassination, right? When something is a fact, it is a fact. But it also depends on what do you gain, right? Out of telling the boss that I am always late, what do you gain? Not unless you want to gain favoritism, right? Because you could have laid a formal complaint about my working hours already. And then the boss could have been informed a long time ago. But the question would be, why do you want to bring it up on this particular day in front of this particular person? Okay. That is the question. Are you traveling?
Yes, I'm traveling.
Oh, so the network is a bit bad. Okay, can you just, I don't know, put it on loudspeaker and then take it off loudspeaker.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm saying, the scenario you have given is a nice one.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was no point for me to talk about your rate coming at that particular point. It is not relevant. For your late coming, I should talk about it, even if someone is probably asking. Let me say you are applying for a scholarship or you are looking for a job, and I'm there as your reference. Which means you are less likely even to make me your reference, because you know I will tell it as it is. So,
One is not character assassination, right? Because character assassination would be trying to make me look bad intentionally.
Okay.
And the motive and the intention must be there.
Okay, I think I got you now. I got you. I think I don't even need to dilute that. Thank you so much.
So also part of the things that we can say when it comes to character assassination, for example, is, okay, we are sitting with the boss, ne? And fine, you have already said that I'm always late. So now I'm already angry like that. Eh? And then, when we are sitting there, maybe the boss says, okay, Elizabeth, you run the meeting. Then you say, she always screws everything up. Like, if you have a problem with me, I know, why didn't we address the problem somewhere else? Because what happens in character assassination, ne, is the fact that this person that has no idea who I am, right, is now given an overview opinion of who I am. And that is why when your friend comes and asks you, okay, about Elizabeth, we are thinking of employing her. What do you think? Right? One thing that we fail to do as people, because I think it's also because we are low-key bad people and we just don't want to be bad. So we hide under the notion of I'm protecting my friend and my friend's business, right? From employing this bad person, right?
Yeah.
But, in all honesty, the only thing that you can say is that she answers clients bad, but what did the client say to Elizabeth? You don't remember that one. You just remember Elizabeth saying, ma'am, you can just take your business somewhere else, because we also don't want clients like that. But you don't remember the part where the client was screaming for 3 hours. And Elizabeth was saying, can you just calm down, ma'am? Let me get you a cup of coffee. My boss will come and attend to you shortly. No, I understand that you are aggravated, ma'am. We will address the matter. We will address 3 hours. Eh? Until Elizabeth is like, you know what, ma'am, you can just take your business elsewhere also. It's fine. Because at that point, she has also spoken to the boss, and the boss is like, my dear, just send the person. If they want to go, let them go. You understand? So now you, because you have a personal, because at the end of the day, right, you have a personal problem with this person. Yeah. You only see hanya mukura a client that night, but also she can't be at the company for that long and not do anything good. So why is it that even when you are giving the reference, right, to your friend, why are you not talking about the 25 clients that she brought in 3 months? You're only talking about ohanya mukure client anai, but you're not talking about 25 clients that she has brought in, of which 2 clients are multimillionaires, buying $1 million products.
No, I think even there should be both side of the coin.
Yeah.
The good part and the bad part.
Yeah.
I just spoke about the bad part because we were talking about
character assassination. But that is exactly what character assassination is. Character assassination is not actually giving the two sides. Character assassination is only giving the bad side. But usually only giving the bad side is because you have your own motive. And in this case, the motive here is emotionally abusing this person. Because emotionally abusing somebody is done with intent. to traumatize, to hurt, to torture, to belittle, to degrade. For what reason? We don't know, because we have different reasons for wanting to abuse people. Sometimes we abuse people to make ourselves feel better. Sometimes we abuse people to make ourselves feel strong. Sometimes we abuse people because this is all we know also. My dear. It's crazy. Shashino, if you come from an abusive, like if you come from, that's why we encourage people to heal when they get out of relationships, because you don't know how traumatized you are, Ndishi, until you step into the next relationship. Then you realize, kucha, Mara, I think I'm traumatized by that other relationship, man. Because say now, if you come from a relationship where you have been 90% faithful, like 100% faithful, and you have been nice, but you were with a person that was unfaithful. You were with a person that was lying. You were with a person that was emotionally abusing you, with a person that was just like this. So now when you get into the next relationship, what are you going to be looking at? Your new girlfriend, eh? If the phone just rings, you want already. Yeah, who are you talking to? Are you cheating on me? You see, those are little things that we carry on, but it's not because we started it. It's because of where we come from. Where we come from could be past relationships. It could be past lives. It could be past, past traumas. It could be our childhood. It could be anyway. We pick these things up and we go with them. That is why we say that we need to heal in order for us to not become the abusers, because 90% of abused people become the abusers because they never want to be powerless ever again. My dear.
If you put it, wait. Were you doing psychology at some point?
Yes.
Okay.
Because even if you ask yourself, even if you ask your friend, ne, that is having 10 girlfriends, ne? Why do you have 10 girlfriends? No. Why do you have 10 girlfriends? Oh, every day you are fighting, every day you are unhappy. Why do you have 10 girlfriends? It's because somewhere in his past, it could have been childhood, it could have been first girlfriend, it could have been a woman that rejected him. Some way, ne? Somebody told him that he will never be loved. And now he's trying to pick up as many loves as he can.
I think I was telling someone to say, not always that people cheat because they are promiscuous.
Yes.
Sometimes people, they are looking for attention because they are abused.
They are
mentally unfit.
Yes. And so, they are also trying to fill voids, fill holes that are bottomless. And the only way we can fill these voids there is if we identify that we have voids in the first place.
Exactly. I repeat again. When you see people even divorcing each other, they are actually both patient in many a times.
Yes.
So both of them, everyone, they are dealing with their own emotion that the other party has not picked.
Yes.
And
yes.
Each of them, they are dealing with their own individual emotion. So, which means they actually need help.
Yes. That's why we encourage people to talk, because eventually when you start talking about things, ne, there is pleasure in talking about things out loud, because then you get to hear them with your own ears also. It's not the same as thinking, because thinking, you don't hear it with your own ears. But when you speak about it, the words come back and boomerang into your ears, and then you hear it for the first time. And when you hear it for the first time, right, that's when you also find the answer. For example, somebody that is getting divorced, right, this woman could have come from a home where, we are on where Russia. Where is the boss? Now, she got into a marriage where even if her spouse says something, Russia, I am the boss, because she assumed that this is what a woman is supposed to be when she's married. And then you find now a man that maybe comes from a gentle home, like literally a gentle home. And him, every time there is conflict, ne, or hambedam, or hamwena, he pulls back. Yeah. He might have came from a house where like they are just fighting all the time, and that's not what he wants for himself, you know. And now this silence, ne, within him is now classified as weakness by Nguyati denge konturandishi. Until one day he decides that he had the divorce papers. Nandiharai, I want peace. Mara, you can also guarantee, ne, kucha, if he doesn't heal, part of his problems in this relationship are going to be in the next relationship. In the next relationship, ne, you might even find him where ti denge konturo.
Yeah.
Hold the line, please.
Okay.
Tired of being stuck in queues or left on hold? Our online sign-up lets you get the connection you need in just a few minutes. Simply head to paratus.africa/Namibia and press the online sign-up button. Then choose from our exciting ranges of fiber, Sky-Fi or mobile LTE products. Fill in the application form and you're already done. Of course, you'll also enjoy free installation on your new package. Sign up online today to enjoy effortless connectivity.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, good evening to you. Welcome to Pulling Heart Strings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the vicious cycle of abuse, and we're talking about the vicious cycle of emotional abuse and how some traumas and some torments, they leap into our day-to-day lives and we don't even know it. So part of the example that we were giving with our previous caller was the fact that, okay, you find these two, they get divorced. One is a fierce somebody that decides that she's not going to be told by any man, and no man is going to ever stand on top of her head, and no man on getting there she can. And then the man is also from a home where he might have experienced abuse, or even from a school where he might have experienced abuse, and he chose not to be an abusive or an aggressive person. So when somebody goes up, he just keeps quiet because he doesn't want to participate. Now, the reason that he doesn't want to participate could have been that he's an extremely short-tempered somebody that blacks out if he's angry, so he's avoiding that. Or it could be that he's terrified of violence, you understand? Or any other reason. So these two get divorced, and then they don't recognize the problems, and they don't heal from the problems, and they don't observe what actually went down. So the likelihood that we are going to carry on the vicious cycle of whatever we were doing to each other and to what, to each other during the relationship, the marriage, the friendship, the work experience and all of that, it is the likelihood of that reoccurring because we didn't actually learn lessons is extremely high. Carl Jung talks about the shadow self. He is a world renowned psychologist. He talks about the shadow self. So usually the shadow self is an element of yourself that you oppress because you deem it not to be appropriate, or society deems it not to be appropriate, or maybe home deems it to not be appropriate, or sometimes it's just thoughts that you don't think are fit to some degree. So the shadow is not bad. It's not good. It's just shadow. So what happens in some of our shadow elements, right? You could find that some people attract certain kinds of people, but you don't know why they attract certain kinds of people. And you're asking yourself, Mara, you know then the formula. You know that this is not the correct person. You know that this is not the type of person that you're supposed to be with, but you keep attracting this person. So what happens is that the shadow is something that is an identifier. It just comes and it shows itself. So maybe in you picking the partners that you are picking is basically your shadow expressing itself, having a human experience. Because at the end of the day, maybe you're a mean person, but you have this display of, I am a good person, because it is bad to be mean, but sometimes being mean is not actually mean. Sometimes it is being direct, it is being straight, just like our previous caller was talking about. There's a difference between calling things the way they are, truthful things the way they are, and bringing it to the light, being blunt, being straightforward, then also just pretending and being classified as a character assassin simply because somebody doesn't want to hear the truth about them being spoken and being put at the forefront. You understand? Sometimes we keep quiet when an injustice is happening because maybe we are afraid of the judgment that comes with being the one that speaks up, or maybe we think that it's not our place, but we know that it's an injustice of some sort. But the shadow self is something that we have to dive in eventually. I think we're going to dive into it this year as well, because I feel like we need to unlock the shadow self. I think we need to invite the shadow self in to have a conversation. Everybody talks about let's heal the shadow. Let's heal the shadow child. Let's heal the shadow. Let's heal pieces of ourselves that are broken, that we don't acknowledge are broken, that we don't see that are broken. But sometimes, right, we have to acknowledge that maybe these are not broken figments. These are not broken elements. These are just shadow. This is just acceptance of shadow. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about signs that somebody is emotionally abusing you. We started with isolation, and maybe you are an abuser yourself and you don't really know. But we are going down with it. And if you can identify a few things, if you can relate to it, then I think that it's high time that we say, like, yeah, ne, I have been emotionally abusive, me. It was not nice, Kanti, you know? And if we can sit at a round table and address this kind of elephant in the room, I think that many of us can also just go to bed knowing that, hey, not perfect, but at least now I know that I've done that. So I will be more cautious of what I say, how I say, when I'm saying it. I'll be more cautious about other people's emotions, because sometimes, right, we do things and we don't think that it affects the next person. So as bad as it is, until this person is coming home to cut up everybody in the house, and you are wondering why. You're wondering why you are such a sweet guy. You're wondering why this person would just wake up today. You know, I'm a service station girl. I'm one of those people that don't like going into the shop. I only go into the shop if it is come or hell or high waters, but I'm more of a service station kind of person. I'm lazy. So I don't want to get out of the car and then walk into the shop and then walk to the other side and then. So I like to cut corners. So I don't look at service station prices as expensive and what. I look at the convenience. So is it convenient for me to just jump straight out of the car into the shop, get what I want and back into the car? It's time management for me. It's just good for me. So part of the service stations that I frequent in my life, or that I am known to, is the Toivo, the engine service station there in Sederhof, and the Puma service station in Pioneers Park, and it's Puma service station in Pioneers Park. It is the engine service station in Sederhof, and it is also the Shell service station in Kleinventuk, and the engine service station in Kleinventuk, and then the Puma down the street in Kleinventuk. So basically, these are my routes. These are my routes to work in the afternoon, and also my routes to work in the evening. So at Puma service station in Pioneers Park, I'm known as Mesheri. Like, I don't know, because maybe I also wear, I've got like 14 Vambu dresses and I really like, like I put on accessories and everything. So I have a dress for every day. If I want, I can wear Vambu dresses for 2 weeks straight without changing, without doubling up or without dressing like that again. Or dressing in the same dress again. So there at Puma Service Station, I'm known as Mayor Sherry. And then there at Engine, I'm known as Mayor Queenie. And then here at Engine and Shell, okay, at this Engine here, I'm also known as Mayor Queenie. And then at the Shell, I'm known as, the Eagle FM Lady. The Eagle FM Lady is because I called the boss and I made a scene about the petrol jockeys and I did all of that and I did all of that. And then one of the girls actually listens to the show and she's like, but you just sound like the matriarch. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I pulled out my card because one of the petrol jockey guys literally said we were waiting for fuel for like 30 minutes, right? And this guy literally said that like they only cater to a certain kind of people. And it was a thing. I made such a scene with it that they just know me as the Eagle FM Lady. So these are my identifiers at these service stations. So now at Puma Service Station in Pioneers Park, right? I go there after work. I think it was yesterday. It was the day before when I was with Ndina. And the lady, the cashier at the lady, they are usually two. So the cashier at the till was like, no, Mayor Queenie, I want to show you something. And she scrolls through her phone and I'm like, hey, what is it? Like, I'm like, hey, we can't know, you know, what is it? And then she showed me that the girl that she is on duty with 90% of the time, the other cashier, she committed suicide. She committed suicide on Saturday. And I was baffled. I'm like, ooh, you know, like what happened? What happened? And that is why I feel that it is not her story. It's not her situation, maybe, you know, but I feel like some of these things, if we can talk about these things, if we can identify that, you know what? I've been subjected to emotional abuse. I've been an abuser. I've not been emotionally abused. You know, I'm like this. I'm like that. If we can identify these things about ourselves, then I feel like we have won the battle by far. Because you can't fight something that you don't know. You can't fight something that you don't know. You can't fight an opponent that you have not studied. That is why there's no way, right? Harry Simon will just wake up and decide that, we are going to fight, Floyd Mayweather. And he didn't look at any of his games and his tactics. If you are going to have a worthy opponent, if you are going to be a worthy opponent, you must know what you're fighting. And the only way to know what you're fighting is by talking, is by expressing, is by asking questions, is by participating in conversations that matter. Conversations that don't seem like they are up your alley, but in true essence and in true fact, there's nothing that is discussed that is not up your alley. There's nobody that can say that I don't have an interest in politics because life is politics. There's nobody that can say I don't have an interest in governance because life is governance. There's nobody that can say that I don't have an interest in psychology because life is psychology. As long as you are out here, you have a brain. Psychology, baby. Psyche. Nobody can say that I don't have an interest in medicine. Because, I mean, you do get sick. And also, medicine is medicine. Medicine could be anything. It could be a herb. It could be the air that you're breathing. Because the air that you're breathing is also something that you are taking in. Carbon dioxide is what you're taking out. It's medicine. So we have to talk about these things. We have to talk about these things. We have to establish a platform, a space where we can exist within this space and just allow ourselves to exist. Ladies and gentlemen, we are entitled to our own opinions and we are allowed to bring facts. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. 90% of us come from very emotionally abusive backgrounds, if it's not your teacher that's emotionally abusive, it's your principal. If it's not your principal, it's your mother. If it's not your mother, it's your father. If it's not, it's your grandfather. If it's not, it's your grandmother. If it's not, it is the auntie that is inside the house, the mulele. If it's not, like, we have all experienced emotional abuse in one way or another. But what matters is the scarring. Were we scarred by it? Or were we not scarred by it? People that dismiss things and say that I was not scarred by anything are usually the ones that are living proof that scars can walk and talk. But what do I know? I'm just a girl from Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto wa mina apiri kwa mavuchaziva. Mwere kusema app ato wakasi nchavu kamso. Zakale liferire. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app. Mwikutwe kulibusi emba santo ye nguyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyalinzwi la mlimu. Zengwi zefumani hamasifera sesifa app ya imba kize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, simane kakarunga, Africans ni zengwi zengata. Muluri zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisifera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 23rd of the 4th month, 2025, and it is a Wednesday evening. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about emotional abuse. We're talking about how it is an elephant in the room, but it is like It is accompanied by, accompanied by, accompanied by, accompanied by. It's like a plus one to all other kinds of abuse. And the people that only suffer emotional abuse, right, are people that are most likely to not talk about it because they feel that there is no evidence. And sometimes the trauma in itself, right, is so deep that you don't even think that you're supposed to talk about it. You don't even think that you can bring it up. You don't even think that, that you are being abused or it's bad. You just assume that it's just a bad situation. Now, another example of an emotionally abusive situation that we can also put onto the forefront and put onto the table this evening is being in a home with an alcoholic. Oh, being in a home with an alcoholic that has a temper, that has a sharp mouth and a sharp tongue and sharp, sharp, sharp. It's like a double-edged sword. It cuts both sides. It's like onkonda brur. Is one of the most emotionally abusive situations that you could ever find yourself in. And also being in a household or in a space with a narcissist, this can also play a tremendous role within your recovery of emotional abuse. Now, one of the settings or one of the situations that may occur with in an emotionally abusive setting, especially when it comes to alcoholics, is what they say to you when they are under the influence and how often it happens. So there's this thing called Dutch courage. Dutch courage is usually when you drink alcohol to go and tell somebody okanjuo. When you drink alcohol to go and fight, when you drink alcohol to have a courage to go and say what is on your heart. It is not beautiful. Dutch courage is not usually It's not usually only aggressive. It's also for beautiful things like you want to tell this other girl that you are really feeling her, but you need a shot of tequila, you need a shot of vodka before you can go and tell her. You know, Dutch courage. But there's the slurs. There is the drunk that specifically intends to drink alcohol to come and tell you okanjuo because on a normal day they are incapable of this. But now what we know about a drunk is that the possibility of them being constantly under the influence is so high because it is part of their nature. It is part of the addiction that the likelihood of intoxication being a reoccurring situation is at least at 80 to 90% of the time. So a drunk would go and drink their alcohol and come back and tell all of you guys everything. You killed my mother. Eh, or you killed my father, or you killed my grandmother, you were doing what, yeah, you are a witch, you are a what, and these are things that they come and say now. Now, you can only hold out for so long. You can only maintain your composure and your cool for so long. Usually people move from the drunk, from the alcoholic. Usually people dispatch. Usually people go away from this person, right? Causing this person isolation because they can't actually deal with them. They can't deal with what they say to other people, how they say what they are saying when they are saying it. They can't deal with it. Now, I know that you guys as Namibians, you guys have endured this and you guys have experienced this. And even if you're not going to be talking about it, we have to acknowledge the uncle that ruins the entire party. We have to acknowledge the auntie that ruins the whole entire party. She's fine on her first three beers. The fourth beer, everybody just wants to run away because she's telling everybody kanjua. Kanjua is toilet, guys. She's telling everybody the toilet. She's talking kaka to everybody. And she might be spitting truths, but it's not spitting truths in an amicable way to find a solution. It is maybe speaking truths that are hurtful, that are embarrassing, that are degrading, that are against your dignity. So this is maybe your grandmother's child. And this child goes and drinks the alcohol for your grandmother to come and tell your grandmother nonsense. And this one comes and, yeah, who do you think you are? Telling your grandmother now, who do you think you are? You are a nobody. Do you remember when I found you when I was 15 years old? I found you in the bushes, having coitus with that other old man from that other side. Now, when you think of your grandmother being however old she was and how old this person was, it was most just a person that was in their 30s and in their 20s, probably having a reckless time. She has most probably changed and she doesn't do those things anymore. But for it to be brought to the public like that is degrading. It's degrading, it is embarrassing, it's humiliating. And the aim is to humiliate, right? The aim is to torture. The aim is to make your grandmother feel like nothing. So this is what usually happens. What I do know about abusive people that are also substance abusers, right, is that they are emotionally abusive as well. So going on, ladies and gentlemen, to right now we are under subsection humiliation and criticism. We have spoken about the name calling that emotionally abusive people do, and derogatory nicknames, you know, like calling you fat, calling you plecky, calling you albino, you know, and calling you names like. Especially when it comes to the concept of colorism within black people. There's this unspoken about elephant in the room when it comes to colorism amongst black people, that there are certain tribes that appreciate darker skin as more authentic, as more African, and then those that are light skinned are called degrading names, you know, like if you are extremely light, then they will call you something like Kakishi. You know, and it's not that being an albino is bad, but I am not an albino. So why do I get the nickname of being an albino? And in what universe do you think that it's appropriate for you to call me this, especially when I said I don't like this? Or you are called maybe Shirumbu, and it depends on how you feel about it, right? Because if you like being called Shirumbu, then it's fine. But what happens when you don't like being called Shirumbu? You know? What happens if the name Shirumbu in itself came from a time where your father was basically denying your existence and your paternity because you were lighter than everybody else, and they gave you that name? Shirumbu, and it doesn't come now with the beauty in it. It comes with something that leaves a sour aftertaste for you. So somebody keeps calling you Shirumbu, you know, even though you have paternity issues, even though you have torment from the past and how this name has hovered over you for a long time. And it brings you discomfort, but somebody doesn't want to stop. Even when you tell them, I don't like it, they don't want to stop. These are the nicknames that we're talking about. Or even, you know, being in a tribe or a clan or a family where they appreciate light-skinned people more than dark-skinned people. So they would call you something like blackie. I've seen blackie around dark in complexion people a lot. Like within families, like they call the darkest person blackie, and sometimes the person is okay with it. Cause I have a friend of mine from Rundu. His name is Blackie and he absolutely embraces it. He embraces it. He wears black. He looks good. He's nice. He's clean. He's perfect. He embraces it. But then I also know a girl named Blackie, or her family calls her Blackie. Her name is Josephine, but her family calls her Blackie because she's the darkest in their family and she hates it. She loathes it. She absolutely despises the name and her siblings don't want to stop calling her Blackie. Even though she has aired her views on the matter, and she has also put people down and said that I really don't like this name because I already have this inferiority complex and I already have these issues within myself about being a dark-skinned woman, and I feel like you as my family should know that I have insecurities around my skin tone and I don't like it. And it feels like when she brought this up, it feels like it was petrol put on fire. Now the fire is burning. Every SMS starts with, Hey Blackie. And it's bad, you know, it's bad for her. So that it's the name calling and the degrading nicknames. And then we moved on to character assassination, where somebody literally, assassinates your character in front of somebody else for no particular reason, but solely for their own entertainment or for their own militia. Then we move on to the next one. The next one is yelling. Screaming, yelling, swearing can intimidate you and make you feel small, and it can make you feel as a nothing. Maybe they never hit you, but they do pound their fists, throw things, or damage property. So we're talking about emotional abuse, right? And we're talking about telltale signs. We're talking about what people might do that can cause some form of damage when it comes to your emotions and your comfort within a setting. So we're talking about yelling and screaming and swearing. So you might be thinking, yeah, but this person has never hit me. This person has never stolen from me. This person has never done this and that. I'm not abused. But the person is always yelling at you. The person is swearing at you. And you know, when you are scared of somebody and this person starts swearing, this person starts intimidating you, like a form of intimidation. They say, it's a form of intimidation is, for example, somebody as big as the Undertaker. So say now you are small and petite, like Benedicta, for example, right? And this person is yelling and swearing and screaming, and this person is the size of the Undertaker. And this person comes and stands in front of you and says, "What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?" Is that not a form of intimidation? Because you're already intimidated. You're intimidated by size. You're intimidated by length. You're intimidated by width. You're intimidated by strength. You're intimidated by their anger. You're intimidated by their yelling. You're intimidated by their screaming and their swearing at you. So intimidation in itself is a form of abuse, because it makes you feel threatened in one way or another. It makes you feel threatened. It makes you feel scared. Anything that makes you feel scared is bad, right? So these are also telltale signs that, this is emotional abuse. They might not hit you, but they are hitting walls. Like, what happens? Like, you flinch. So this person is breaking doors and breaking walls and breaking windows. Like, what is that? There's no person that remains calm under a situation like that, not unless you become accustomed to it and you learn how to block it out, or you pretend to ignore what is going on around you, or you disassociate, right? And when you become like that, that is also another state of panic and another state of being. And that in itself is also categorized under the folder of emotional abuse, because when you go into a normal setting, or when you go into a setting where this person is not in and somebody breaks a glass, what do you do? What is your reaction? Your reaction is to flinch. You are flinching because you are accustomed to it. You are flinching to, you are flinching because this is something that you are used to, because you are in an abusive situation. You are in an emotionally abusive situation. So they might not hit you. Never. They might never, ever, ever, ever touch you. Not even like just hold you or just shake you. Nothing. They never touch your body, but they are beating everything around. They are damaging property. They are throwing glass that might even come back and cut you. They are throwing things, you know? That is also emotional abuse. And then we move on to the next one. We are trying to find situations where I've been, and then we are trying to see, were we emotionally abused, or were we emotional abusers, or do we know people that have been in this situation? Because it is only logical for us to know what it is. So the next one is patronizing. They say, don't patronize me. Don't patronize me. Patronizing, they belittle you by saying things like, I know you try, but this is just beyond the scope of your brain. Oh! Can you see the technicality? I know you are trying, but this is just too smart for you. Or I'm just too smart for you. You know? Or I can see your efforts, but this is not something that someone like you can figure out. Now, what does that mean? That is most now belittling you. That is patronizing you. That is making you small, right? So okay, another patronizing situation, especially within a cultural setting, is there is an issue that is brought forward into the household. So you and your wife, or you and your husband, are supposed to be the heads of the house. You guys are supposed to be the elders of your family, right? And somebody comes in with an issue to address in the household. So you are assuming as a wife, or you are assuming as a husband, that you are supposed to participate within the conflict resolution of this, or within the conflict resolution. You are part and parcel of the solution towards the problem that has been brought forward into your family. You go and sit next to your wife. You go and sit next to your husband, and you are now waiting, right, for the things to be spoken about. So the person starts talking, and your husband turns around and says that, no, you must just go to the kitchen. You will not understand these things. What do you mean? What do you mean I'll not understand? Like, I'm too stupid to understand conflict, or what do you mean? Or your wife just says that you don't really have the brain power for this. Nenge inimanjinongwe kuishi. Inda ukwalale. Like what? But this is a conflict that has come into the house. And now you're telling me that I cannot even sit here and listen. Even if I don't understand, I cannot even sit here and listen. How do you know that I will not understand? Not unless you think I'm stupid already. So this is patronizing. Like, don't patronize me. Don't patronize me. Don't make me look like I'm some stupid person, right? Because I know really, ne, that otokamba darashiri, mara, this is just too much for you. Like, yeah, this is just too much for you. You really won't get it. You really not understand. Like, bruh, like, what won't I understand? Like, what do you mean? What won't I understand? Like, what do you mean I will not understand this? like, okay, na kito kami tika. What is difficult for me to understand here? And that is patronizing, right? Like, oh, like, and then this one is also accompanied. That particular situation is also accompanied by the next one is public embarrassment. Public embarrassment. How many of you guys are embarrassing each other in public and why? Why do you feel the need to embarrass your husband in public? Why do, because I don't think it's embarrassment when you guys are talking about it in the room, when you guys are talking about it in private, when you guys are talking about it in the comfort of your own space. It's not embarrassing, but it becomes embarrassing when you are correcting, where you are directing, where you are embarrassing this person in public. So my question is, why are you embarrassing each other in public? Let's go to what is embarrassing each other in public, for example. For example, picking fights and sharing your secrets or make fun of your shortcomings. So, you recently lost a tender, right? You recently lost a tender to Ministry of Health. You recently lost a tender of Ministry of Health because there was no, there was maybe no good standing from NAMRA and you were still working on it, or you were not aware that the good standing had to also go in with the papers, and that is why you didn't get the tender, or the tender was revoked or something in that of that nature, where the tender was so close it was just by arm's length and then you couldn't grab it because of something that had gone down. So now your wife knows this, right? Your wife knows that the reason that you guys didn't get the tender is because the good standing from NAMRA has not been submitted, or it wasn't submitted on time, or like the political parties, you failed to give the things on time and your audits on time, etc. Then you guys are sitting at a dinner with family and friends, and literally you say something like, or somebody asks you something like, or did you remember to bring the charcoal? Did you remember to bring the charcoal for the braai? And maybe they asked you, not the charcoal, let's say the blitz. You know, that little white thing, the blitz. Oh, did you remember to bring the blitz? Because maybe it's raining and whatever. Did you remember to bring the blitz? Then you answer like, oh no, man, I completely forgot. And then your wife will say something like, yeah, that's what you always do. You forget important things. Like in this rainy weather, you think that fires are just going to light themselves without blitz because you are the forgetter, retractor, just the same way as you forgot that tenders or hazim or no good standing gayoko NAMRA. Like, whoa. Bruh. What? Ooh. I wish your sister would. What? Now, nobody there is going to say anything because everybody's going to be like, oh my God. Yatameke. You know? Because how? Like, So she discloses your secrets and your shortcomings and makes fun of you in one breath. Just right there. Now, obviously, in this situation, are you going to sit down and continue drinking your drink or continue eating your salad that you were given because now the fire has to be lit with only wood and ohosi and? Or are you going to now retaliate? Now retaliate towards your wife because, like, why? Why are you choosing to embarrass me in public like this? Why? And this was the first point of public embarrassment, picking a fight. How do we pick a fight? I pick a fight with you by sharing your secrets or making fun of your shortcomings in front of other people. Because even if I said that in the room, you can always brush it off. Like, yeah, the other day, nangwa wewe nina. Yeah. Then we can keep quiet, Moss, because at the end of the day, I know your secrets, you know my secrets. We can shindura each other here. Atu vurukui penyuna na 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 na. Deo shimata shipeyuka. Right? Because it's just the two of us. And we can do that. We can go all night, baby. We can go all night. Nangwe noho shwe one no marovo we was stamina noho. So be so big to vukurombe anje shaka. Shashino. Even with this number paper, eh, or number it's anginya nungwe no great tena queen. You know, we can slander each other in the comfort of our own bedroom, in the comfort of our own home. You know, we can slander each other, but these are things that we don't take to the general public, right? So picking a fight is literally sharing information that they're not supposed to be sharing, because those are secrets that you guys are supposed to be having, and making fun of it and making fun of all the things that you do wrong in front of other people. So these are emotionally abusive traits. So every single time, everybody knows all your things, right? All your things, because this person chooses to embarrass you in front of other people. So another point of public embarrassment, especially in terms of the people that are living with addicted people. Addicted people, sick people, people that are in critical situations, and it's not because of circumstances. It's not because of something that they didn't ask or they didn't know about. It's not like cancer, you know, because like you don't know when cancer is coming. So nobody can really make fun of cancer like that. But let's talk about, for example, STDs, right? For example, sexually transmitted diseases. These are sexually transmitted diseases. And addictions are things that you get addicted to. So for starters, you have to start the thing. When you start the thing, then you get addicted to it, right? So 90% of the time, with these types of issues, this is all your decisions. So these are all your decisions. It's you deciding that you're going to have coitus with somebody without a rubber, or the rubber bursts, but no, society doesn't really look at the rubber burst or that you were tricked or that you were drunk. They don't look at those things. They just look at it as reckless behavior when it comes to sexually transmitted diseases, right? Or when it comes to addictions, because in addictions, we all start the things ourselves. So you intentionally go to a bar one day and then you put in a dollar. And then later on, 10 years later, you are putting in $500 into the machine and you don't even know how you got there. That's the nature of addiction. So part of public embarrassment would be, for example, you are now on your HIV treatment, or you are on your AIDS treatment, or you are going to the clinic or to the hospital to go and get your shots. Or even pregnancy. Let's talk about pregnancy as well. Or even now you are going to the doctor to go and see the doctor because you are pregnant, but you're going with your parent. So your parent runs into somebody. This is public embarrassment, right? And we're talking about this because these all fall under emotional abuse, because the likelihood of you doing everything else also is extremely high. I would say it is at 99%. If you're doing some of these elements, some of these things, right? The likelihood of you being an emotionally abusive person is there. Or you being subjected to emotional abuse is there, because it goes in correlation, right? It is a cue. It is a line. It is bullet points, right? So you're in the car with your mother. So let's say you're 14 years old and you're pregnant. You're in the car with your mom, or you are in a cab with your mom, and you guys are going to the doctor. Now, your pregnancy is somewhere there around 6 to 7 months, right? And it shows, and you know you're young, and you're already embarrassed that you're going to the clinic, and you are going to the hospital, and you are already embarrassed that you are pregnant, right? So you are already walking in shame. So everything around you is dripping in shame. But emotional abuse would be you run into your friend, your mother's friend with her two daughters. And your mother would say something like, yeah, guno kwa dikara rambarara aramati, yeah? She was just chasing after men. And Peifetarampeeri. Yeah. Osho alikoramo moskorasho. Like, this is your mother talking to another person, to another three people. And she's talking about you just chasing after men, and this is what you got out of life. It's just pregnancy. It's just being young and a life that is ruined. That is public embarrassment. Because she's what? What is public embarrassment? She's basically picking a fight, because alternatively, the fight is gonna come because of the secret that she shared. And it's not a secret, but I mean, come on. A secret that she has shared, she's making fun of you and making fun of your shortcomings in public. She's disgracing you to some degree. She's embarrassing you intentionally. So that is public embarrassment when it comes to the concept of teenage pregnancy. And parents do this a lot. They think that it's teaching you a lesson, but they don't wonder why the person goes and gives birth to the baby and then kills the baby. They don't think about why that person goes and kills themselves. But when you say things like that, ma'am, how am I supposed to exist in a public domain when you say things like that? Even to people that don't need to know, that have no business knowing my business. Parents have very slippery mouths. They spit game, guys. So, another embarrassing situation or public embarrassment would be that, let's say now you were diagnosed with HIV/AIDS, or you were diagnosed with AIDS, and you are critically sick because you didn't catch the virus at the beginning. You don't even know who gave it to you, you know, and you become critically sick and you lose the job. Or let's say you didn't lose the job, you just got sick, but then you have to go back home to be taken care of, right? And then you are being taken care of by your parents. And nobody knows your HIV status. Nobody knows what you're going through. All they know is that you got sick and you're not coming to work anymore for now until you get better. It could be anything. Your colleagues don't know. It could be anything. It could have been cancer. It could have been a stomach bug. It could have been COVID. It could have been anything. And then you go back home. So public embarrassment would be your mother on the phone every day with family members, telling them that, what? Bruh! Like, what? And that is public embarrassment. That is this person is talking your things. He's talking your things out there. You understand? Or you could be an alcoholic, and you could be an addict of some sort. Right? Because parents do this a lot. You could be an addict of some sort, and your girlfriend has been trying a lot to get you onto the correct path. But eventually, because like we said, that sometimes the abuser becomes the abusee, or the abusee becomes the abuser. So this person suffers from some form of abuse from your hand, and then they turn around and abuse you back. Diary of my black woman. They turn around and abuse you back. So you have been abusing her throughout your addictions and. So maybe you are gambling, you're not bringing home money, you are drinking and you are being picked up from the bars, and now she has to drag you from 2 a.m. or you are on drugs and you are just roaming around the Windhoek city and, right? Addiction is addiction. So what would be public embarrassment, right? Is, for example, you guys go out to dinner. So now you guys have a problem. You guys have an elephant in the room, right? So you guys could have gambling as an elephant in the room. You guys could have, addiction in terms of a drug addiction, or you guys could have alcohol addiction, sex addiction, whatever kind of addiction. And then you guys are sitting there. So addiction in itself has a way of coming to the surface. It's just like poverty. Poverty has a tendency of coming to the surface immediately, or not immediately, eventually. It has a way of showing. So you can only hide poverty for a little while. I have this beautiful couple friend of mine, you know, and they went through a rough patch in their marriage. But it wasn't their marriage that was suffering. It was just the finances that were a bit shaky. And the husband makes jokes and says that, like, yo, the time that we were suffering, my dear, you started just like, poverty has a way of expressing itself. It has a way of showing. So it's just like addiction. So part of the telltale signs of addiction is usually on somebody's body, the personal hygiene and the neglect. So what would be public embarrassment is your partner, you're sitting with your partner and you are most now trying to fafaneka ongalo. You're trying to be fine, man, because you're already having these problems at home. You're trying to be fine. You're trying to have a good day. You're trying to have a nice day, guys. Like, I just want to forget these addiction things for a little while, please. So let's just have a nice day, mamzela. And then you guys are sitting there for a little while, and maybe the couple that you guys are dining with for the evening, you know, they kiss and then they hold hands or something like that. And then you want to also just hold your person a little bit, but you know that you guys are not in a good space, but sometimes you forget that the person is really, really angry with you. And then you touch this person, and then this person just says things like, "Me, I don't like the way your hands feel on my body." Eh? Because every day it's just cuts from glass when you fall down and break, and glass and beer bottles are breaking because you are just a drunkard. Like, how? Public embarrassment. That's public embarrassment. So now everybody knows that you're a drunkard, and that's why your hands are scaly, because your hands have been cut by bottles, because you fall over when you are drunk. Those are public embarrassment, because now when somebody is cornered like this, the likelihood of this person retaliating and then engaging the fight that you are trying to pick by saying what you said, right, is at a skyrocketing rate. So that's what's happening. So, and the next one is dismissiveness. Dismissiveness. Somebody dismissing you. Like they dismiss your thoughts, your ideas, your existence. You are dismissed. You share something important to you, and they reply with, "What? Who cares about that?" Like, so maybe you are complaining about, the way they treat you, you know? You're complaining about, like, Meme, I really don't want you to call everybody and tell people about my HIV status. Chike? Before I have good and the potane, Ushi, or Shirina Shipopiwara, wait this a queen, ne. Like that is dismissing you completely. Yeah? That is dismissing you completely. Kucha, your feelings, they don't matter. Them, they are going to talk about your HIV. Is it, you don't have HIV. Am I lying about you? That is dismissive behavior. That is dismissive. Like, I dismiss it completely because I don't care about your emotions and I don't care what you think. I don't care. Body language, like eye rolling, yeah? And head shaking and sighing help convey the same message. So maybe your mother might not say that, hey, Shike, so I must not talk about your HIV, but you are having HIV, Shiri. I must not talk about my back paining because I'm carrying you because you're HIV positive and you can't move yourself and you. Yeah, I understand. So imagine she doesn't say that, but when you say, please don't talk about my status. Please don't tell everybody my things. Please don't. Right? She rolls her eyes like, ugh. She says things like, ah. Yeah? Dismissive behavior like, ugh. Or shakes her head. Mm-mm. You know? That, it conveys the same message. It says the same thing. It still says, we're dismissing this. I'm dismissing this. Whatever you feel is not important. Whatever you think is not important. I don't care what you're saying, what you're feeling, what you're thinking. I don't care. All I care about is what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I'm saying. And I'm not going to be taking corrections from you because I already think that you are less than. And I'm intentionally doing this because I don't care. Because if I cared, I wouldn't be rolling my eyes. If I cared, I wouldn't be sighing. If I cared, I wouldn't be saying what? I don't care. I would listen. But we spoke about emotional abuse as intentional torture, right? Yeah. Sometimes these behaviors, they come as part of it. They come as part of the abuse. It's not to say that somebody wakes up and says that, you know what? I feel like tormenting the matriarch today. I feel like I'm going to be an emotionally abusive somebody in the matriarch's life. It is. It could be a reciprocation of you and what you have been doing or the situation. It could have been the emotional abuse that you are facing from your mother that is taking care of you when you are HIV positive or when you have full-blown AIDS, right? Could be the reciprocation of fallen advice or advice that have fallen on deaf ears. This could be resentment. Resentment towards you for not listening to the teachings and the advice that she has given. So now that we are here, I am treating you the way I'm treating you because you didn't listen to me. You could have been these fast people. Your mother every day is kererering. Don't go, Ndeshi. Hey, where are you? Don't go outside. Like, why? Why are you? That guy is going to make you sick. Or that girl is going to make you sick. Stop talking to me. Shut your mouth, mother. Eh? Zaputare mpana mango shikurupishini nandishi sanga minyafa. You know, this could have been you. And right now, you are reaping what you've sown. Because you don't just wake up and decide that your golden child that has always been listening to you, that has fallen, into a tough situation is somebody that you're going to be dismissing, is somebody that you're going to be embarrassing publicly, is somebody that you are going to be ridiculing and patronizing and yelling at and, assassinating their character. No, it could have been out of resentment you've built this. And this is emotional abuse towards the person because you resent them, right? That's why we spoke about resentment. Because you resent them, this is what you display. Because you're angry with them, this is what you display. Because they've hurt you so much, this is what you display. Because they have come to a point of irritating you, this is what you display. And this is the crazy behavior that is seen on the outside. So what happens with a narcissist, for example, is they aggravate the side of you. So they only make a video of you dismissing them, right? but they don't make the video of them not listening to you. So I hope you guys get the drift here. I hope you guys are fully in understanding and in alignment with the conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-8401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to come and give your two cents, in case you would like to come and contribute, in case you would like to come and ask a question around what we are talking about. Because many a times we say we understand and then we don't understand and then we go and dive into it. So ask. Ask, am I being dismissive? Am I being dismissive if somebody that is extremely irritating and I feel like they irritate me on purpose because they always want to see me angry, asks me stupid questions? Am I being dismissive? Then we have to talk about it. Like, come guys, we have to talk about it because you guys are just killing other people's hearts out there and you don't even know it. So, these things convey the same message. So, the next one is choking, right? We're under the character of humiliation and criticism, right? That is the umbrella that we're under. So, what happens under humiliation and criticism? These are the factors that happen. These are the ballpoints that happen. These are the pointers that happen under humiliation and criticism when it comes to emotional abuse. These are all things that fall into an emotionally abusive space. Okay, so joking. When you express discomfort with something they said, they snap back and say things like, can't you take a joke? I was just joking. Grow up. Now, why is it that I'm just joking only comes after I've expressed dissatisfaction in it? After I say that I don't like that, that is when you are apparently joking. Why? How? What do you mean? Why is that the only time that you're joking? So, you're only joking after I tell you I don't like it? Why? 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 Maybe it's because you're not joking. Maybe it's because you're only saying that you're joking now because you know that I don't like it and you know that I can see past it. You're left feeling foolish and wondering whether you are in fact too sensitive. When somebody says like, oh, you can't even take a joke, bruh. You are so sensitive. You are so sensitive. You're just like a girl. You are so sensitive. You're just so sensitive. You're just so sensitive. You're like, oh lady, you're just so sensitive. So sensitive. Now, the thing is that joke was not really nice. And it wasn't really a joke. And you can tell. But it leaves you wondering. Like, am I really maybe too sensitive like a girl? And I don't know what it is, especially amongst the male species. When you guys are compared to women, you feel like this is the deepest form of disrespect that anybody could ever. Because you are not a woman. Because a woman is such a fragile creature. It's such a not nice creature to be compared to, Mbera. So when somebody says like, you are just like a woman, right? That is like an insult towards your ego. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why are you so threatened? Or why are you so taken aback by being compared to a woman? Because if we could maybe take the weight off of the insult, right? Maybe it wouldn't affect us as much as it affects us now. I'm just saying. So, because when somebody says like, ah, you are a harlot just like a man, I just feel like the insult doesn't make sense. It's like, I'm what? Like a man? I'm a player like a man? What? Like what? Doesn't make sense. But when somebody says like, yeah, you're sensitive, especially about women emotions, like men hate it. Men hate to be told like, yeah, you're just like your mother. Fathers do that all the time. Like, yeah, like, oh, And this boy would undeta furuka, and he can even build resentment towards his father because of saying that, like, do you not acknowledge my masculinity? But that is awesome. Yeah. When you go and ask your father, like, what do you mean, me? I don't like that. Then he says something like, I'm just joking. You can't take a joke. You're just so sensitive like a woman. Then it is something else. So, ladies and gentlemen, the next one is insulting your appearance. Now, a lot of people don't actually insult other people's appearance. What they do is make you feel bad about your appearance. They make you feel bad. They make you feel ugly. So you are young. You are vibrant. You are beautiful. Your body is still banging. Nobody came out of your body. So you don't got a stretch mark. Or even if you do, it's not battle scars. It's just beautiful art. And you are dressed up in your little dress because, I mean, we're going to the streets. We're going to mwamwal like other girls. Sabawel as hisom cholo. You know, and you feel confident. You feel loved. You feel beautiful, vibrant. And then your lover turns around and says that you look like a harlot. You look like a prostitute. Is that not an insult towards your appearance? Now, some guy would say, like, yeah, but she really does look like that. The question is, why those choice of words? Why not, if she doesn't look nice, why don't you say, baby, I prefer you better in jeans, or I prefer you better in a longer skirt. This one is a bit too short, you know, for my liking. But if you are emotionally abusive, sir, then you will say things like, you look like a prostitute. Because low-key, you don't want anybody looking at her. But the first time you met her, she was wearing the very same dress. And now all of a sudden she looks like a prostitute. Does that mean that you are attracted to prostitutes and that is why you made your Mac game when she was wearing the exact same dress? What does that say about you, sir? But it is insulting your appearance. Now, when somebody that you value their opinion says this to you, what is the result? Hello, hello.
What is the result,
Ash? Hey, what is the result? We're talking about emotional abuse.
Good evening, mommy.
Good evening, Tata Buena. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I am fine.
Oh, you mean what are the consequences of the, what is it, this, is it still emotional abuse?
Yeah, we are talking about emotional abuse, but today we are, yesterday we were on isolation. Today we are on humiliation and criticism. Now, part of the things that happen under humiliation and criticism, right, is that the abuser calls you names. Mm-hmm. They call you names and they call you derogatory nicknames like, Onginyano Feti, Mafeti. You know?
Mafeti.
Like Onginyano Mafeti. I've seen it a lot with Awambo people, very abusive people. I've seen it a lot with Awambo people. Awambo people have no boundaries when it comes to what they say. So they say things like ngoka skeleton aman. You know? Ngoka skeleton, Onginyano ka skeleton. Onginyano Mafeti. Onginyano ka kishingwe. Onginyano black. And even if you tell them that you don't like it, it's like now when you tell them that they don't like it,
although you see, the thing is that for me, honestly speaking,
mm-hmm.
when you examine those issues very well,
mm-hmm.
sometimes we don't really see the impact
mm-hmm.
they have on us
mm-hmm.
or others.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, maybe it's ignorance or just that people are not, and this is where...
emotional intelligence.
Yes.
Mm.
So I think sometimes we seriously need to discern as to the effect that those things have on people.
Mm. But do now, we care?
Even if, exactly, we don't even
we don't care.
don't care because maybe we don't feel the pitch ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, mommy, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is that I think we are just aware. The reason why you are accepting to others, you are saying those things to others, is because you want to feel, you want them to feel the pain, isn't it?
Mm.
So that means we are actually well aware.
We are malicious.
The effect of that.
Mm.
So we cannot say, no wonder why they say there is no excuse, or the ignorance of the law is not an excuse.
Mm.
So, but we are actually aware.
We are.
The only problem is that maybe we just need somebody to reinforce that those rules, those norms, and say, yes, this is how painful it is.
Mm.
Therefore, you need to test the, I mean, how do you say, to test the water as well.
Mm. So, so part of the things that are also, part of the things that are under humiliation and criticism, right, is name calling and then character assassination and yelling and patronizing and public embarrassment and dismissiveness and people that say, I'm joking, after you tell them like, yeah, but what do you mean? Then they say, oh, you can't take a joke. You're so sensitive like a woman, you know? And insulting your appearance. That's where we were. Now, insulting your appearance, that one arm, is, for example, being in a relationship with a guy that is emotionally abusive. So, esekundo no, you decide that one, you want to go out with your friend matriarch, you want to look nice, you just want to feel nice, you want to look nice, you want to go out, you want to go and paint the town red, you are a young woman, you are beautiful, you are vibrant, right? Then you wear your nice dress, your dress is not even short, ne? Then he says like, oh, you just look like a prostitute. Like,
Now, if you say that one in the comfort of your room, in your zone there, maybe you are say, let's say now you are walking and you are going somewhere with your partner, be it your wife or maybe girlfriend or whoever. Now, and you are saying that, but this dress doesn't portray you as a virtuous woman.
Okay, but you are saying it nice, Tatebuana. Because that's how you're supposed to say it to your partner. You're supposed to say like, oh, but this dress, ne? It doesn't portray you the way that you actually are. It makes you look like something else, you know? It makes you look like a lady of the night, you know? That is how you're supposed to say it. That is how you're supposed to be correcting your personal person. But for me to ask you, hey, Buena, how do I look? You look like a prostitute. Don't look nice. Because it's emotional abuse, and this
you are demeaning that.
Exactly. Insulting your appearance.
You are distracting the value of that person. And you are making that person, you are belittling the person.
Exactly.
Now. And the person feel like invariable and all this kind of thing. I think it's not a good thing actually. So that one actually you are like, you are making the person to feel non-entity. I mean, I don't know how the person will feel like,
brave. They're prostitute. Like what? Like, ooh.
That is too much. I mean, I don't know.
But it's emotional abuse. This is what people are going through.
It is,
this is what they are going through. Where, no matter how nice you try and look for your person, ne? The person says just bad things. So imagine you go to the salon. Oh, do you remember Boom Shaka?
Yeah, Boom Shaka.
Hey, it's about time you listen to Boom Shaka. So Boom Shaka had the box braids, right? And they used to have that rasta, and then they put up the bolas, the bolas, they go up. So imagine you go to the salon and you get your boom shaka on, you know, because the boom shaka look is coming back. It's here. It's called box braids in this generation, but we used to call it the boom shaka. So now you look nice, eh? And then somebody just, when you get there, then the person says like, oh, ano apanda ngini ngao. Like, bruh. Yeah? Oh, ano apanda ngini ngao. Wapanda kujan. Na ako salon angwe. My God. Bruh. Wambune, brother. Ano apanda ngini ngao. Like what?
The kind of experience that we are getting. I hope. I think that is mantis. You know, there are things that we are not actually aware. And many a times, things like, for example, we don't even know that some of these statements that we make.
We make them, yeah, and we hurt people.
And they hurt people. And then you are now there. Then you might have embarrassed somebody in public already. The person might have. No, we were told that, yes, even just this kind of promise that we make, maybe jokingly, unaware, and things like that. No, you are my really sweetheart. And all these things.
We're
going to have our own house, our own family, with our own children. Then all of a sudden,
you are with someone else.
We are with someone else.
And then when the person confronts you, the worst part is that when the person confronts you, you say things like, "Oi, totine ondi tura mungwe."
Me, I can deal with you. You know, I think people.
But that usually people that do things like that to people are people that have, people have done things like that to them. People have done things like that to them. The abuser there was once abused.
Excuse me?
The abuser was once abused.
Yes, that's what they say. That's what they say.
So at the end of the day, you just feel bad for him. Which, oh. So imagine you are getting ready for a job interview, and you have maybe gone to 20 interviews so far, you know? And now when you are done dressing, your roommate says, "Is that what you are wearing?" Oh, no wonder you are not getting a job.
No wonder you are failing.
Hey, no wonder you're not getting a job. My God. Like kanga cash.
What kind of discouragement?
No wonder you are single.
What?
My goodness.
I have a silly. Honestly, you know that kind of education, eh? And you know this type of education, you will not get it to them in wherever. It's only in this platform that you get them. And I don't know this teaching of some of these precepts. It's just it's not really that difficult to get, to understand it. But maybe there is some kind of blindness that is put on us not to understand and, you know, some of those, how do you call those small things that are very important?
It's not that we don't understand them, it's just difficult to change.
Oh.
It's very difficult to change. Imagine, ne? Imagine, Tatebwana, if you came from a house, ne? Where your father criticized everything about you. And then one day you are listening to the matriarch, and the matriarch tells you that everything that you have been in, all the relationships that you have been, is emotionally abusive. Now you know, right? Now you feel better that you know. But the question is, how do you put it into practice?
Yeah.
Shash, you know, one day you are just going to see your Nazara, okahemake, okagrina, and without thinking, because you are accustomed to verbal abuse, right?
Yeah.
Or you are just going to tell a kucha, shuafaro ehenda ngao. Like, bruh. No money, guavinarita.
For you to say that thing to your partner, honestly speaking, I just feel that it is just too much.
Yeah. It's but some people don't feel like it's too much. Sometimes some people even hide it under brutal honesty. I'm just being honest. But there's a difference between being mean and being honest. And people hide under honesty. They hide under the umbrella of honesty to be mean. Because we all know that we have a choice in using which words to which people. Because you are also not going to tell Tate Franz that he looks like a potato. No, you won't. You tell him, oh no, Tate Franz, this color is not fitting with this color. You're not going to say, shwafa ihaka utungao. But because you disrespect the person that you're in a relationship with, you feel you can say whatever you want to say, meaning that it is intentional. This malicious behavior is intentional here within the relationship setting or within the friendship.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and that is why we still go back. That's why we still go back to the notion of, no, men can't control themselves. My dear, if men can lead us through war, if men can run governments, if men can run churches, if men can do all these immaculate things, right? No. Dono Elundu.
Elundu.
Anto Elundu.
Matriarch.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much. Takwanja ngirapo shiveri.
Ewa. Andiringa po makatimpo.
Ewa ulina waikenda po afame gifro. The double portion.
Yes.
So thank you very much, mami. God bless you, ne?
God bless you, Tate B.
Keep on preaching. You know, they say we should not win in doing good.
Mm.
So those things there, they really transform us.
Mm.
Those teaching, and somebody was telling me, they said, Tate Bwana, you are really transformed. What do you mean by transformed? So then the person was now talking and bringing it to the proper context.
Mm-hmm.
It could be true. Maybe some of this teaching that
I learned danga. Maybe I learned pamundanga zamonga nasha.
Even the way you are composing your language, whatever you want to say, you have to think twice.
You see, understanding that life is not going anywhere.
Good night.
All right, good night, Atebi.
What a bit.
Ciao. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you have just joined us, we're talking about you and the way that you are emotionally abusive and you don't know it. We're talking about me and the way I'm emotionally abusive and I just don't know it. We're talking about me that knows I'm emotionally abusive, you that knows that you're emotionally abusive, but you think that it's not abuse because you're not beating anybody, you're not cheating on anybody, you're not doing anything to anybody. That's what we're talking about. So, ladies and gentlemen, we were there at the insulting your appearance. And these are all things that are within emotional abuse, right? There is never really a case of emotional abuse where the abuser does not insult your appearance. And I figured why they insult your appearance. They insult your appearance to make you feel small so that you don't leave, so that you don't see your worth and you don't see your value. Good evening, beloved.
Evening.
How are you, Tata King?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing, man?
I'm fine, thank you.
Long time.
Very long. When last did you emotionally abuse someone?
Every second day.
Every second. Wa fawashipe aku doctor tonumomo miti after every 2 days.
Yeah, don't care, my friend.
Oh, what?
Hey.
Talk to me.
Something's in the blood.
Nem?
It's not my fault.
Is it not your fault? But you have the ability to change it.
I try my best.
Okay, trying is good.
That's why I'm vegan.
That's why it's not every day, it's every second day. Yeah. First of all, it used to be every 2 minutes.
It's 50-50 now. Because, you know, sometimes to us, it might look like it's nothing. Because what makes us to you, to me, might not make us.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be like, this is an insignificant thing. But to you, it's a big thing. And sometimes we don't see this. Sometimes we realize it if by looking at the other person's face.
Reactions.
What I said is not good to this person. I learned that, you know what? Actually, when we were at school, we didn't care, man. We didn't care. We would do anything, we would make jokes, and you know what? It was more like we were in competition of making stupid jokes. And I realized, later on, I realized that, you know what? Whenever I make a joke, let it be a joke that, you know what? Everybody is able to laugh. But if I make a joke about the matriarch, and she cannot laugh, exact joke. That's not a good joke.
Yeah.
It is abusive.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes we say things that just because we want others to laugh, you know? But the other person, you are killing that person emotionally.
Yeah.
So that person will go home saying, you know what, even if I see these people there, I won't go there anymore. I will not be in their group, you know? That's why you see some people that, you know what, you used to laugh with.
Did you really used to laugh with or you used to laugh at? Because I don't think many of us know the difference.
No. Sometimes we used to laugh with. And then later on, because you also laugh at that person. Or... You know, let me say this, let me say that the France made a joke, and we all laugh. Yes, we are laughing together. And then I make a joke, and you are not going to laugh. You get emotional. And then tomorrow, you say, King George is there with Kake France. I'm not going there. They might end up making fun of me, you know?
Again.
They will affect me, you know?
Again. Yeah.
Before you know, even if you don't have a problem with Kake France, you begin to isolate yourself and say, so if they always hang out with this one, and this one makes funny jokes, not funny, but you say he makes stupid jokes, no, I don't want to. I'd rather create my own space, find new people to associate with. And yeah, that's, sometimes we don't see it until people are gone and you are like, that one. I don't know why. Now he's not here or he doesn't want to be with us. She's what? And we begin to see things that are not there.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing the real picture or what is causing the issue or what is dragging us. I trained myself. Because if I couldn't train myself,
Kucha, I was really almost there.
Yeah. It's not a healthy environment.
Yeah.
Or if we want to, that's why you hear people saying, let's unite, let's be what, let's be one. We cannot be one.
Yeah.
If we always make some things that make other people angry or emotionally, you know that there are people who are dying emotionally.
Yes.
They might not talk. Not everybody talks. There are people who hold themselves like a cup. And then they will tell you what it is. They will tell you everything, how you make them feel. Like they are those who just keep quiet.
Yeah.
And you won't notice. Many people only notice when the other person speaks. If they don't speak, you think, it was just a joke, you know. Everybody laughed. Yeah. But it's not, a joke must make everybody laugh, but it must not humiliate anybody.
Yes.
Don't feel humiliated. Let me not make a joke that humiliates you.
Let me not make the joke at the expense of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes things
like that. But the funniest jokes are about people.
Yeah.
Also, I think maybe because we as a people have a tendency of, I think that's the only funny thing. That's the only source of entertainment. Other people's pain is our source of entertainment.
You know what, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know Franklin?
Yeah. Which one? Franklin speaks on?
Franklin from NBC.
Yeah, I know Franklin, the poet.
Yeah, he's my friend.
Nah?
We've been together, man, even when he was doing all those media things. And you know what? We might make funny jokes, and when you look at us and say, what are these guys doing? But none of us is going to be angry at any joke. And also him with other guys. There are some guys that they make really funny jokes about each other. But no one is going to take it emotional or take it personal.
Yeah.
Because you must know that if I can make this joke to the natural, so the natural also can make another joke about me in a different day. You know, because you know what, man? Sometimes when we make jokes with people that you know what, me and this person, we can joke, and no one is going to
feel bad.
Bad, yeah. I made a joke about you today. Then people will laugh. And you might also be laughing. You are just looking for an opportunity also.
Yeah.
To make a joke. And then, yeah, it's like that.
But sometimes then there are also sometimes that a king, ne? Where you find that some people, but they don't know, but they don't know how to fight.
Story,
but kanti they don't know how to handle it. Like me, if I start fighting with you, ne, oshirishiri otashika hurirako kure nai. So that's why I don't like to fight. Then you find those ones that like to fight, and then they don't know how to fight. Then you find those ones that want to joke about others, but when you turn around and put the joke on them, they can't take it. How?
Yeah.
How?
It's like a boxer.
Mm.
Who wants to knock others down?
Out, but doesn't want to be knocked out.
But once you are knocked, you are down.
Mm.
You know what, Nick? What is it now?
Edinburgh.
I thought of Indongo.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what I wanted to say.
Which Indongo? Toyota?
Ah.
Or Opa?
Now when I say a boxer who wants to knock the other person,
mm-hmm.
and just, you cannot take a punch.
Yeah.
Remember Indongo with a crossword. Just one, down.
Fell asleep.
Don't be like that. There are people who want to make jokes about other people.
Mm.
But wants to make a joke about that is...
That is equally funny about them.
Yeah. Mm. Then they are angry.
Mm.
Then it's supposed
and then to they say like things that. Like, in a rare. But even the way you are saying it is like an angry person.
And you know what?
Uh-huh.
If you don't want people to make jokes about you,
don't make jokes about others.
Yeah. Then I know already, if I don't make jokes with this person, if this person doesn't make jokes with me, I must not try.
Mm.
And that's where we fail to balance that one.
Mm. I think also, just to add on to what you're saying, I think also, we don't learn what type of jokes to make with what type of people. Like with me personally, I'm not a person that makes fun of people. Like for me, nothing is funny. Like, no. I make jokes about situations. Like, like on to is not the king attend. No, it's on tende de on when we are we punduka wa hata po we ningishike. Like on no is a general thing. But and I think that people don't know how to evaluate what kind of jokes different people make. Like with me, my mom is a very funny person. But all I know about my mom is that if you want to laugh, start an inappropriate conversation. My mother can make you laugh. The things that are coming out of her mouth, you not think that it is her that tapopini maya changao. You know? So She found me the other time. So when I got pregnant with my son, I was most also scared and what. So she came into the room. So I gave her the pregnancy test and I told her and all of that. Then she said, okay. And then I went to the room, must not go and sit there and, think about my sin. Hmm? And then she came into the room and then she said, Tashto kondo makudishi. Spend the most to rat or pity in our condomia the Tarano no good. So she makes inappropriate jokes like that. Like, imagine any kind appropriate, ne? But she doesn't make jokes about people.
You know, like me, I can get along with any person.
Yeah.
I've been with different people from different backgrounds.
Mm.
And me, I'm funny. I make funny things. I'm like a comedian.
You know?
Some people used to say, hey, man, you're a comedian.
You know
the guy I got married a coach. Yeah.
What happened? You got married and then?
You know what? For me, I don't like people to be bored.
I like to
mix. Yeah, I like to do something mix and make people alive. Mm. You know? we were there, and I think there were different, I don't know how many we were, because I think there were four different weddings, right?
Yeah.
That day.
Mm.
But sometimes the elders from the other side, they are also there, you know.
Mm.
There were people there, man. There was witness.
Yeah.
When it was our turn, the judge now is asking, we were talking things there, repeat, say this.
Yeah, the vows.
We do this. Then he said, face each other.
Mm.
You know what I did?
Mm.
I faced the opposite direction willingly, just quickly, and turned back and faced him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Everybody was laughing.
Oh, you're like,
including the, yeah, so.
Did she also laugh?
Everybody laughed. Including the
magistrate.
The magistrate. Mm. He also laughed.
Mm.
He said, such things, nobody is going to take it personal.
Yeah.
I just acted funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Like me, I also have like this face that I put on. I don't even know where the things come from. Like, I go to bed very tired, Tate King. I just wish some days, ne, I can just be quiet and just, oh shit, don't want that far and that rock or shit, no kanangwe. Like, I can't just go through the shop. I tell 20 jokes from the entrance. That's why I even just started going to service stations, because it's just faster. Eh? Because if I go into the shop, ne, the people at the bottle store, I must first crack 10 jokes. Yeah, my queenie, my dear.
Yeah, yeah. Even when I go in the shop, you know, sometimes you find the cashier has been there since morning.
Eh.
And some people come there with attitude. And you know, this person is, you don't know what they are going through.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just make it a day, man.
You know, just a little something.
And the person becomes happy. One time I went to Vanahenga police station.
Mm-hmm.
There was this man, she was just angry. She was not happy. Everybody that goes there, the way she's talking, the way what, you know, when I went there, I told you, you know, Nene, I want to make you happy.
Hmm.
Then she said, how are you going to make me happy? How? What do you mean? Do you want to insult me?
Ma'am.
I said,
you're taking it, eh?
I said, you know, Nene, not what you are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I want when I leave here, you have a smile on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see your smile.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That moment, I left her smiling. And I don't know how she treated the people that followed after me.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that she helped before me,
they did not receive a good service.
Not a good one.
Mm.
So sometimes people come to work and they have stress at home. You don't know what they are going through.
Mm.
And they carry their home issues to work.
Mm.
But just one joke or just something, man, can put them in a good mood, and they can focus now on what they are doing. They forgot what we are going through at home.
Yeah.
Just for that time.
Mm.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't know, there are jokes that heals people's hearts.
Like radio. Because,
yeah, because you don't know what people are going through.
Mm.
There are people who come and say, you know what, man? I was thinking of doing this and this and this. But just because you make that joke that day. I smiled.
I realized that your life is not that serious.
Yeah. I did not smile that day. I was totally angry with certain things.
Mm.
But just because of that joke of yours, it saved me, because I was going to do this.
Mm.
And you know what? That's you when you make that joke.
You're not thinking about saving people's lives.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Just a joke.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, that's why it's very important. I enjoy it when I'm alone.
Yeah.
Because when I'm alone,
I can be quiet.
When I'm alone, or I'm driving somewhere and I'm just alone, I switch off the radio and now I listen to my heart. I listen to myself. I begin to talk to myself. So that helps me when I meet people.
I know what to say.
I know what to say.
I practice in my car.
Yeah. I know what to say and what not to say. Because sometimes people say things out of joy.
Yeah.
You come here and you are good. And then, oh my gosh, so nice. I was just happy, man.
You hate me, man. You hate me. Yeah? Because I even spent my last $20 to come here. You hate me.
But no, I was just happy. You know, there are times when people are happy and then they say things that they will regret.
Yeah.
Or when people are angry, they would say things that they will regret.
Mm.
Or you find people making jokes and just because you want to fit in, you come up with a stupid joke.
Yeah.
And somebody goes and hangs themselves.
True.
Because from home, they were already having voices in their hearts or in their minds. Like, you know what? Ah, these people, they don't like you. They walk all that. And now you come and make such a joke. And they say, yeah, you see, it's true. You even convince yourself, no, it's true. Nobody cares about me. You begin to see things in a wrong way.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hey, what are talking? Right. Auntie and Ngongeko.
Okay, even when we are not calling, we are listening.
That is good. But I also like it when you guys call. Especially towards these kinds of issues, ne? It's so nice to hear different perspectives and different understandings towards the same issue. So that we can redirect the energy into a positive light. Because a lot of people don't understand emotional abuse, aka. Shashine kudengamos.
But the most dangerous thing or the deadly thing is to put somebody in that position of emotional abuse. Like me, I don't like a person to make much noise. It's better to touch my flesh and go.
Yeah, then say the things that you want to say. Because words...
They remain in the heart. And you begin to try to understand, but you never understand it. Before you know, you kill yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, what a ticking. Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, hello. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, for our final 9 minutes, let us wrap it up. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about emotional abuse. And we have started with isolation. We have started with the first point of what happens, right? What happens when we are being in an emotionally abusive situation? What is it? And why would we want to be in an emotional, abusive, situation? The definition in itself says that it is when the abusee, the abused, is when the abused gives up their comfort and emotional stability for the love of the abuser. So you give up your comfort and your emotional stability. How do you give up your comfort and your emotional stability? One, if somebody is insulting you and making jokes about you all the time and you don't say anything, right? That is giving up your emotional stability because you go back and you start thinking that you are ugly like this person said. You are worth nothing like this person said. You are a nothing, right? And you give up your emotional stability. And also, we moved on to subsection number 2, And under subsection number 2, we have the characteristics of humiliation and criticism. And those are namely name calling, character assassination, yelling, patronizing, public embarrassment, dismissiveness, joking, but they're not joking, insulting your appearance, and part of something that happens to a lot of people that we don't actually pinpoint as emotionally abusive is when somebody says, right, something like, you are dressed like that. You are lucky that you have me at least. Or you are very ugly. You are lucky that you have me, a cute person or a beautiful person. Or you, those are also abusive traits, guys, because what do you mean, as if I can't beg another person? I can't beg another hunk or what? You are the only hunk I'll ever have in my life? No. No, sir. And then, last but not least, and we are rounding it off, the next one is belittling your accomplishments. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when somebody is belittling your accomplishments, it's by making it seem like what you did is not a big deal. They brush off your achievements by saying your achievements, they don't matter, or claim responsibility for your success. Now, in the workplace, you know that you are doing project manager work, and then when you guys achieve the bag, when you guys achieve the client, when you guys bag the bag, right? All of a sudden, this project manager that has not even been at work for 2 years, right, is the one that's going to come and claim your success and say, yeah, I did my best and I was what? And now you cannot now tell that it wasn't them, huh? Because they have already scooped it up. But it is also a form of emotional abuse, that one. And belittling your accomplishments is like you people that are graduating right now and you guys are in emotionally abusive relationships. That is your partner that has never had a certificate, diploma, any kind of paper, no degree, nothing, right? In terms of academics, tell you that your degree is just a paper. Your diploma is just a paper. Your certificate is just a paper. That is emotional abuse to the highest core. Because how can you belittle my achievement, my accomplishments? Ladies and gentlemen, you sustaining yourself through your business, that's an achievement. Somebody to come and tell you, kuch aye o harandi saru kuki, andu kuki kawari pone, andondiri penyano. Like, that is my achievement. For people to belittle whatever you are doing that you are proud of and you have worked very hard for, right? That is emotional abuse. Those are parts and, that's part and parcel of the puzzle of emotional abuse, okay? So, pay attention to that one. And the next one is putting down your interest. They suggest your hobby is a waste of time. So say now you are a skater girl like Ndina. Eh? You are a skater girl. You like the skating park. Some of us don't even know where the skating park is. It is beautiful to have interests that are outside of the norm because everybody else's interest is drinking and smoking hookah pipe. So this young lady she's a whole skater chick. You know, skater chick and really enjoys it. And imagine now if she got into a relationship where this dude decides that, yeah, skating is just a waste of time. That is a form of emotional abuse because you are putting down my interest and making it seem like my interest ain't nothing. So we must just go be at the bars drinking beer because my interests are not interesting. Nah, bruh, then maybe I deserve something better. And for example, you'll never be any good at the piano. So why do you keep trying? Like you decided that, you know what? I want to learn how to play the piano. I want to learn how to play the piano and I'm really interested in the instrument and all of that. Then you go and start trying. So the person calls you like, where are you? I know I'm at piano lessons. And then you come back, you guys meet up later. Then the person is like, you'll never be any good at playing piano. So why do you even want to try? You're just wasting money. Like, that is putting down your interests. That is putting down your interests. Yeah. You want to, you are being taught how to braid hair by the next door neighbor girl. Now the person is asking, what are you doing? I andi rongo kupanda. Oh, ngwaito shite. What? Bruh. People are cruel. And last but not least, under the section of humiliation and criticism, pushing your buttons. I think that this should be the highlight of our conversation. Pushing your buttons. What is pushing your buttons? When somebody keeps trying to get the worst out of you. When they keep trying to get a reaction out of you. Once they find something that annoys you or makes you uncomfortable, they begin to mention it every chance they get, ignoring your requests that they should stop. So imagine, right, that you are uncomfortable, right? Maybe you are uncomfortable with this other girl or this other person in your class because maybe they chew bubble gum a lot or something. Then all of a sudden, every chance they get when they're coming to meet up with you, they're coming with that girl. Or even worse, you don't like one of their friends because their friend keeps touching your bum or keeps touching you inappropriately and it annoys you so much. And what do they do? Because now they know that this person irritates you, right? So every chance they get, they keep talking about this person and then they keep bringing this person around you. And then even when you tell them, please stop, right? They say like, yeah, but I just want you guys to like each other. But why are you not taking me to the shop teller that I also told you that I don't like? Why are we not going there? Like, why are you not doing it with other things? It's because you secretly only want to annoy me. You want to make me feel bad. You want to make me feel uncomfortable. You want me to be uncomfortable all the time because you don't really care about how I feel. You don't care about my happiness. And when we go back to emotional abuse, when we think about emotional abuse, when you think about something, somebody that claims to love you intentionally choosing to push your buttons every chance they get, what does that say? They know that maybe you are afraid of spiders, right? And now all of a sudden, everything around them is spiders. Like, what does that say? So you want me to be scared all the time? You want me to be annoyed all the time? You don't find joy in my joy? What is this? Maybach music? All right, my beloved, ladies and gentlemen, we have officially come to the end of our program this evening. And our program has been one of beauty, life, lights, camera, action, all of it. We have done the most this evening and I think that we deserve a round of applause or a playback. Maybach music. She told me that I'm not enough. Yeah. And she left me with a broken heart. Yeah. She fooled me twice and it's all my fault. Yeah. She cut too deep and she left me scarred. Yeah. All right, beloveds, I bid you guys farewell. I love you guys forever and a day. And stay tuned to a recap of Pulling Heartstrings.